You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hope you had a great weekend, everybody. It's hour two this Monday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. McLovin, you still feel that way about Jokic and the Nuggets after yesterday's win over the Clippers?
Yes, I do. Okay. Just because the Clippers have been lazily gifting teams wins. I'm so disappointed with the Clippers.
The Nuggets have rallied from a 3-1 deficit to force a Game 7 against the Clippers. After overcoming a 3-1 deficit against Utah in the first round, they're 5-0 when facing elimination. One of five NBA teams all time with five or more such wins in a single postseason.
Stat of the day.
Yeah.
Stat of the day. Stat of the day. Stat of the day. Here comes that what? Stat of the day.
All right, phone calls are welcome. We'll get to more of those, best and worst of the weekend. Email, tweet, say good morning to our TV friends at Peacock and also our radio friends numbering 362 cities around the country. Week one, the overreaction, of course. Tonight, Steelers, Giants, Titans, and the Broncos. The NBA is off. And once again, the Nuggets have forced a Game 7 with the Clippers. You're going to have Game 1 of the Heat and Celtics coming up tomorrow, along with Game 7 Nuggets-Clippers. Big Ten revote, from what I'm told, expected to happen this afternoon with the presidents and chancellors, and there is genuine optimism there will be football. Not everybody in the Big Ten is playing football, but there will be football. At least they're going to try. The target date that I announced a couple of weeks ago was October 10th, but since they've waited a couple of weeks, they've now had to push that back as far as they can to October 17th. There will be a Big Ten title game, and they're hoping if they get nine games in, that the playoff selection committee will look at one of these teams in the Big Ten and give them consideration, even though they're probably not going to be playing as many games as the Big 12, ACC, or SEC. But that's all the information I have, that there is expected to be the vote today. And after that, you got to have nine votes from what I'm told, but there will be schools in the Big Ten that will not play football. I have to admit that not having a crowd at most of the NFL games was a little weird, but I got used to it. And just like the NBA or baseball or the NHL bubbles, you know, I'm okay with it. And we miss the energy, but what you're going to find is not having that home field advantage. You saw that with a couple of college football games with Iowa State, Kansas State. You're not having a home field advantage. And also, I think not having the crowd there helps these younger players. No matter what the sport is, you know, playoff basketball, a younger player, there's not that atmosphere of going into a hostile environment here. You know, you've got quarterbacks or running backs or wide receivers, coaches. You know, the environment's a little bit different in the NFL as well, where you go out there and you're just playing. You don't have that extra man that's there. You know, Joe Burrow looked pretty comfortable yesterday against the Chargers. Patriot fans would love to be cheering Cam Newton, who looked great yesterday. You know, you saw Washington against the Eagles. And instead of, you know, fans being down on Washington when they look so bad and Carson Wentz looks so great, and then all of a sudden Washington comes back and picks up the win. You know, the Rams, that new stadium, but not having fans in there, you still picked up the win against Dallas. You know, Tom Brady goes into New Orleans. That's usually a hostile environment, a great home field advantage. You didn't have that. And Viking fans, you didn't have to witness Aaron Rodgers carving you up. So there's a positive there. But I'm not going to spend a lot of energy on what could have been. I'm just glad that we have football back, that we're able to talk about it, and certainly some interesting games yesterday. And I started to wonder, like, if you're a football fan, if you're a Browns fan, how depressed are you? Texans, Eagles, Colts, Buccaneers, Niners. I don't know if anybody else gets added to that list there, but those would be the fan bases that I would start out with. If I'm a Browns fan, I didn't expect to beat Baltimore, but I expected to be a little more competitive. The Texans are going to be, you know, they're going to be up and they're going to be down. They're going to be great and they're going to be bad. The Eagles, I think there's genuine concern there. And I don't know if it's the offensive line and or Carson Wentz or it's just Carson Wentz. Colts, you got to win that game. I mean, these are games you have to win. And Jacksonville, Gardner Minshew was wonderful yesterday. But Phillip Rivers in a big situation. You got to produce. This is one of those games where if the Colts end up 9-7, and then you look back and you take inventory and say, God, how did we lose that game? Or the Lions are going to look at that game against the Bears and go, how did we lose that game? You know, the 49ers, I don't have a lot of confidence. I'm certainly not overconfident in the Niners. I'm not even that confident in the Niners. And you saw it again yesterday. Jimmy Garoppolo, I think there's genuine concerns there, and there should be. But I like what I saw with Arizona. Yeah. If you questioned whether or not Arizona got a great receiver in DeAndre Hopkins, they certainly answered at least for one game yesterday. And Kyler Murray has a different gear than any other quarterback in the NFL. Lamar Jackson's one thing. Kyler Murray goes straight ahead, and he has got a different gear. And you saw that on the touchdown run. I like what I saw with Cam. You know, no surprise that Belichick will understand how to use him. And this might be Josh McDaniel. He's basically using Cam the way he did Tim Tebow in Denver. And it worked against the Dolphins. But the Patriot fans would go, yeah, Cam and the Patriots, we got to win. And Tom lost. Okay, Tom's on the road against the Saints, who, last I looked, are one of the are on the short list of Super Bowl contenders. Miami is a decent team. I like how Dolphin fans were like calling for Tua with Ryan Fitzpatrick. If you're going to call for him before the game starts. Like there's nothing that's going to be surprising where you go, yeah, Ryan Fitzpatrick's not that good. Okay, he's on the road against, you know, the Patriots. At some point, maybe Tua gets to play, but I wouldn't be shocked if I go, boy, Ryan Fitzpatrick, we can't really count on him. Yeah, go figure. This program brought to you by Rock Auto. All the parts your car or truck will ever need, rockauto.com. A family business founded by automotive engineers in 1999. Two goals in mind: to give you direct access to all the parts information hidden in the computers and catalogs behind the parts store counter. And second, making those parts affordable. They offer reliably low prices. You can go to rockauto.com, choose the part brands, prices, features you want anytime 24/7. Rockauto.com has a lot of the parts you've been told dealer only are no longer available. Directly right to your home or office. Don't waste time and money hunting for the parts, phoning, driving, waiting in lines. Go to rockauto.com. Tell them that we sent you all the parts your car, truck, wherever need at rockauto.com. All right, McLovin, what's the poll question going to be? And I got some phone calls to get.
Okay, we put up for the first hour, which QB should most worry their team? Baker Mayfield running away with it, then Sam Darnold, then Phillip Rivers, then Carson Wentz.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like Sam Darnold's a big problem in Jets land, too.
Well, no, they're not any good.
But he's not any good.
Well, I don't know what came first, that the team wasn't any good and then Sam followed, or it's Sam and then the team isn't good because of that.
Is that draft going to end up being like a Christian Ponder, Jake Locker draft where Mayfield into Darnold, Rosen, Josh Allen, and Lamar Jackson?
Yeah, that draft. Josh Allen played well.
And Lamar saves that draft, but he wasn't in the top 10.
No. I don't expect anything out of the Jets. They're going to win one or two more games more than they should and then ruin their draft position. But I'm not – if you said they win four games, I go, okay. If you say they win six, I go, okay. I don't have any expectation. That's another thing. Philadelphia, I have expectations. Cleveland, I have expectations. Jets, I have no expectations. Yeah, McLovin.
Is Adam Gase going to survive there?
He shouldn't. But, you know, that's where they fire him and then they promote Greg Williams on an interim basis, their defensive coordinator. I think he's Greg Interim Basis Williams. I think that's his nickname. My Cowboys lost last night, and there was a questionable call pass interference, offensive pass interference. And they are my Cowboys because I picked them to go to the Super Bowl to lose to the Ravens. Here's Mike McCarthy, the Cowboys head coach, on that call last night.
Two guys hand fighting. I thought it was well executed. I was surprised there was a call there. Either way, so very obviously disappointed in the call, particularly at that point in the game. I thought they let both teams play tonight, and you know you just don't usually see that, particularly at a critical point in the game. So I have not seen a replay, so that's about as much as I can comment on it.
It was a no call. Should have been a no call. I think they were tangled up. I don't think Gallup, you know, had a push that separated him from Jalen Ramsey. Ramsey had his hand all over Gallup's one arm. I would have just said no call there. Didn't agree with it at all. Yeah, Paul.
Do you notice what these defensive backs are doing? Both Ramsey and I can't remember the name of the defensive back go against Joe Burrow for the Chargers. But when they get interfered with, they sell it. They kind of flail their hands back a little or arch their back enough. And that back judge on both plays saw the reaction of the defensive back, not the push, because of where they were located.
And A.J. Green pushed off, you know, on that touchdown. I mean, he did get an advantage and extends his arm. I understand it. You extend your arm, offensive receiver does that, then, you know, you're going to get flagged for that. To me, that was just part of hand-to-hand combat. By the way, for the Rams to play in a city where the Dodgers have the crispest white, you know, those uniforms look brilliantly bright. That's like, you know, the guy who's in his 60s gets new teeth and they're so bright. That's the kind of Dodger white that they have. And then you have the Rams who go out there and it looked like they forgot their game jerseys and they had practice jerseys and they weren't washed or they had been washed so many times. And you had the Chargers whose uniforms look so sharp, brilliant, with the same color scheme. I'm not in on those Rams uniform. Not. The helmet, no. The dirty jersey, not in on that either. It's like a dirty martini. Not good. Although the Rams did play well last night, you know, and probably were the better team. Play calling. Dak Prescott looked great in first half. Second half did not look good at all. And Aaron Rodgers, I think, is going to be able to survive this year. I think he's going to keep his job for another year, it looks like. He, at times, makes it – there's no other quarterback who makes it look that easy. When he plays and he plays at his highest level, there's no quarterback who makes it look as easy as Aaron Rodgers does. They're, you know, better quarterbacks now. There's nobody who makes it look as easy as he does. And he has these passes where you just – he throws it and it off his back foot, you know, has great feet. But Minnesota, that's a concern. Here's another thing. He wasn't sacked. He got hit twice. Carson Wentz, I think, got hit 15 times yesterday. And these aren't designed runs. These are just – he's getting hit 15 times. That's a big concern moving forward with the makeshift, you know, offensive line as it is. All righty. Kyle Long, former offensive lineman for the Bears, going to join us. He's doing a pregame show, that other pregame show on CBS, CBS Sports. And then we got a new content. Is it a new segment called Sounds of Pain?
Sounds of Pain.
Hot new bit. Thank you, Seton, with the production. Hot new bit, Dan. Sounds of Pain. This week, and it'll come up every week.
Yeah.
Sounds of Pain this week is courtesy of WJR 760 in Detroit.
Okay.
Sounds of Pain.
Sounds of Pain.
Sounds of Pain.
Here they are.
Lions from the Bears 16, down 4, 11 seconds to go. Matthew's going to work out of the gun. Bears have three men back on that goal line. Stafford's got it. Three-man rush for Chicago. Stafford loads and throws.
Yes! Just
caught! No, he dropped it! Oh, you no!
Oh, no!
DeAndre Swift dropped it. It was a touchdown in his hands.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Sounds of pain.
Sounds of pain.
Sounds of pain. I'm going to go 8 on the pain scale.
Oh, the painometer?
Yeah, the painometer, yes. Oh, no.
He's got an oh.
Couple of phone calls here, then we'll take a break. Let me get to Brad in North Carolina. Hi, Brad. Welcome to the program.
Hey, DP, got a worst and two best for you. Worst of the weekend is having to pack up the house to move tomorrow with a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old in tow, to quote Brady Hoke, not good. For my first best, my Tar Heels, after shaking off the rust, my 18th-ranked Tar Heels rolled up Syracuse 31-6, and our defense kept them out of the end zone, holding them to 2 field goals. And my other best was the return of College game day to a college campus, albeit it was to lowly Wake Forest here in North Carolina. But just that showed the production value is just unbelievable. And for what Reese Davis does to fill the shoes of the jacked up Chris Fowler, and what those guys do, it's just incredible. And if your viewers and listeners haven't checked out this book called The System, written by Armin Katan, came out probably 7 or 8 years ago. And they do a deep dive, have a whole chapter on College Game Day.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, Brad. Thank you. Armin Katan had an interesting weekend.
He did. He lives kind of close to me.
Yeah.
From what I hear.
Yeah. Has police stopped by?
Six times, I think.
Six times?
Four, I think.
Four times?
Allegedly.
Wait, you're reporting on a reporter who's in the news, so you got to get your report right on the reporter.
Fair enough.
All right. Yeah, Paulie sent me a story and went, what? There's a rager going on at Armin Katayan's house.
Yeah.
Yes, McClellan.
Yeah, Paulie seems to know a lot about it. Did you drop by?
No comment. Back to you, Dan.
Caleb in North Carolina joins us. Hi, Caleb.
Hey, DP. Got two bests for you. So first best is my Appalachian State Mountaineers kicking the year off with a win and returning to the top 25 for the third straight year in a row. And then also the Washington football team coming out and beating the Eagles, and then how dominant the front seven was with 8 sacks and 3 forced fumbles.
All right. Well, thank you, Caleb. Let me see. Speaking of Washington's football club, James in Virginia joining us. Good morning, James.
Oh, thank you for taking my call, brother. We are Washington. I appreciate it, but I just want to piggyback on something you said earlier, man. The Houston Rockets got to be a good job anytime you got James Harden and Westbrook, and I see Tyronn Lue there. I'll give you, and spinning that forward into my worst, man, the Clippers, man. I tell you what, they had 2 chances to close out the Nuggets, man. I think the Nuggets might take the series away from them, man. They came back from double digits down in 2 separate games to stun them. It's going to be a good one. And it was kind of like a, oh, by the way, because I was sitting there and I didn't even know that the NBA was on as I was flipping through the channels. But I got to get on to my best, man. Oh, my goodness. And your last caller just hit it, man. 8 sacks on Carson Wentz. And I've seen so many Philly-Washington games, and I've seen him do so many magical things back there. And there was just a barrage of front seven, and they were rolling them in and rolling them out, man. It wasn't just one guy that was dominant. The whole D-line, I was completely surprised. At 17-0, I was telling my girls, like, man, can they just make it competitive? And then all of a sudden, man, it was just play after play defensively. Haskins didn't look great initially, balls in the dirt. But, man, when they got turnovers, he turned them into points, man. So it's exciting, man. I'm kind of curious. For the first time in a long time, they got a chance to start 2-0, man. So, hey, thanks for letting me rap about Washington, man. I hope you guys have a great day.
Thank you, James. Congratulations. I was looking forward to James calling. By the way, just got word, Ron Rivera, the Washington coach, will join us final hour of tomorrow. At halftime, he had an IV. And, of course, you know, going through cancer treatment, I believe, but still out there coaching. Let me take a break. We'll check in with Kyle Long, the former offensive lineman, now working for CBS Sports, get his thoughts on everything that happened yesterday. We'll check in with the Cleveland Browns. That'll be coming up in an hour from now. More phone calls. We'll give you our best and worst of the weekend. Approaching 20 after the hour right here on the Dan Patrick Show. How would you like to save $400 a year on your cellular service? Are you with Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile? Because the average person is saving $400 a year by just switching to Pure Talk USA. Here's the cool part. You don't have to sacrifice coverage. You don't have to sacrifice speed. In order to save 50% on your wireless bill, Pure Talk is using the exact same towers and network as one of those carriers, covering 99% now of Americans. So what are you waiting for? Pure Talk, customer service, based right here in the U.S. of A, and you can keep your phone, keep your number, choose from the latest iPhones and Androids. Right now, you can get unlimited talk, text, 2 gigs of data, all for $20 a month. Grab your mobile phone, you dial #250, and you say Dan Patrick. You're good to go. And when you do, you save 50% off your first month. Dial #250, and then you say the keyword Dan Patrick. Pure Talk USA, simple and smarter and wireless. You have options to receive a one-time auto-dialed text from Pure Talk USA. Good luck. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. Saw this tweet from Chris Sims, former NFL quarterback, co-host Pro Football Talk Live with Mike Florio. I tried to tell you guys, Josh Jacobs ran for 3 touchdowns yesterday, but also had more targets, catches, and receiving yards than any game last season. John Gruden wasn't lying to me. Okay? I didn't hear the prior comments about Josh Jacobs from Chris Sims. I didn't know there was an outcry that people were taking Josh Jacobs seriously. Seemed like he had a pretty good year last year as a rookie out of Alabama. Then Chris Sims goes on to say, I don't know fantasy football strategy, but I do know Josh Jacobs is going to ball this year. Gruden didn't want to throw everything on his plate as a rookie, but the training wheels are off now. Hashtag Raiders. All right. The outcry for Josh Jacobs. He's Kyle Long, CBS Sports Network studio analyst, former Bears All-Pro lineman, joining us on behalf of Miller Lite Cantenna, the only reception device on the market that's great tasting and serves up football straight to your living room. It's part beer, part digital antenna. To order, call 877-CANTENNA and learn more at MillerLiteCantenna.com. Kyle joins us now. Did you invent this?
I wish I did. I really wish I did. It's a great idea. How are you, partner?
I'm good. How was it yesterday? Your studio debut yesterday on CBS Sports.
It was a week one that I had never experienced before. It was something that was new to me. I didn't sweat as much, but I think my hands were shaking just as much. But it went well.
Well, good. It's weird, though. Your body tells you that it's football season and you're not going out there to play. What was that feeling like? That you should have been playing, or normally you're playing football now.
Well, the biggest distinction is when I was playing Friday, Saturday morning, I could call my dad and say, "All right, the hay's in the barn, all my prep is done. We're gonna go kick their butt on Sunday, and I'm gonna be ready to play." When I got the studio gig, I find that things are changing by the minute in this business, and folks like yourself are relying upon information at the drop of a hat. I was waiting to see if Lane Johnson was going to play, if he wasn't going to play. And then obviously we saw he didn't, the abysmal Eagles opener. They have the Rams next week. So things like that are on my mind. The hay is never in the proverbial barn.
But let me start with the Bears and the Lions there. Can you be honest about Mitchell Trubisky as an analyst, whereas when you were blocking for him, if somebody asked you after the game and he played poorly, like, are you going to be honest about Mitchell Trubisky?
Well, here's the deal. There's only a handful of quarterbacks in the league that can honestly have the entire game plan be put on their shoulders and they can just go out there and play. Russell Wilson being one of them, and you can name the other ones. Mitch Trubisky is a young quarterback. He's been asked to do a lot. He's seen a lot of change and turnover in the Bears. And I think that if they can continue to bring guys in defensively, take the pressure off him in that aspect, he can have this team in the playoffs. I really think he can. You saw them come back from 21 yesterday, and we've seen it time and time again. Slow start, but we got to start out. I say we. The Bears have to get out of the gate faster with the running game, and it'll take the pressure off of him. You see Jimmy Garoppolo in the Super Bowl last year. He led the league in explosive play completion percentage, and that's a byproduct of the running game. I think it's a prime example of taking the pressure off a young quarterback and putting it onto the strengths of your team.
Yeah, but at this stage of his career, we should know who Mitchell Trubisky is. Like, does he have a ceiling to be great, Kyle?
You know, I don't know enough about the quarterback position. He's got a lot to prove this year. I will say that, though.
You know, wait a minute. See, now you went back and you became a Bears offensive lineman.
He has a lot to prove to me. He has a lot to prove to the NFC North, and he has a lot to prove to the NFL before they can put him in that elite conversation.
Come on, this.
There's your bite right there. I think he's talented. I think he's a good leader. I think he's a good guy. But these are all, these can be said about, dozens of quarterbacks in the NFL. Who are the skilled guys? And is Mitch going to emerge as one of those guys?
Aaron Rodgers looks like he can still play the position. I love a slighted chip on my shoulder Aaron Rodgers. And you're going against Minnesota. That's a good defense. And you put up a 40 biscuit on him. That's pretty impressive.
One of the few players you leave the bench area while getting your wind, you leave the bench area to go to the sideline and watch him. That's one of the few guys in the league is Aaron Rodgers. And had I had the opportunity to see Lamar Jackson, I would have probably done the same thing.
We were going to play the Kyle Long bench press game. And like what you could bench. Now, what, are we doing Kyle now?
Current status, it looks like he's down a few pounds.
Okay. Mm. All right. Okay, he's 31 years of age. One rep max. Fritzy, I'll start with you.
I'm going to go 330.
330 for Kyle Long. Now, he's got long arms, makes it tougher for a bench press guy. McLovin.
300.
300. Seton O'Connor.
I'm going to go 320.
Okay. Paulie?
One rep, Kyle's going to go 380.
380, whoa. One rep, that he could do it right now.
Right today.
And I think he's got a bench press right
if
there.
If coach is telling me I have to do one rep, I'm going to put 10 pounds on the bar, get it done, and get to lunch early.
All right. So let's say $10,000 is on the line. You got to do one rep right now.
I'm going to go. One rep. I mean, I couldn't even tell you we lift with kilograms.
I'm going to go 375 for Kyle Long, one rep.
I'll say 350, boys. That's where I'm at. That's
350? I'm at. All right. Who's the strongest member of the Long family?
Strongest member of the Long family is Diane Long.
Your mom is.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, but you're only 31, man. That's tough to walk away.
Well, who knows? Maybe I'm just going to get an ice cream. Maybe I'll be back.
Oh, there's a possibility you're coming out. Oh, if the Bears look good, then you might come out of retirement?
That's not what I said, DP. Depends on how good I feel this offseason, this coming offseason.
Oh, so there's a chance that you're open to coming back.
Yeah, I think there's always the chance. As long as you haven't had anything that's career-ending. I just had a lot of things compile over the last few years. And I haven't really had the time to get them all taken care of. So who knows? Maybe I get a year in the media side of things and I get that itch again. But I'm really enjoying the media right now. And I really think there's no reason for me to even venture down that path again.
Best defensive player you blocked against was who?
Well, there's three. Geno Atkins, Khalil Mack, and Fletcher Cox.
What made
Geno
so
Atkins
great?
Was like trying to move a fire hydrant with razor blades on it that moved at the speed of light. Fletcher Cox would just roll out of bed and kick your ass with a dip in. These guys, and Khalil Mack, it speaks for himself. He can do anything. He's the strongest guy I've played with, one of the quickest guys I've played with, and one of the most cerebral football players I've played with.
What about Aaron Donald?
Never got to play directly across from Aaron Donald. Okay. I played tackle when he was at defensive tackle.
And then
Thank God.
J.J. Watt?
J.J.'s a great player, and he plays everywhere. He reminds me of what my dad was like, I would imagine.
Tell me about the Miller Lite Cantina that I'm curious about.
So this is actually brilliant, and you did a great job introing this, but I'm a big Miller Lite guy, Miller Lite fan, and they have sent out these Miller Lite Cantinas. You can go to MillerLiteCantina.com to obtain one of these bad boys. It comes with a little cable. You remember these? They just plug right into your old, and then it's going to scan for a minute, and then you got TV and a beer. How about that?
You're like the Elon Musk of beer.
I'm waiting to find out how I can, refabricate this can to figure out if I can make an electric car out of it one day.
Well, it looks like you could put hot dogs on it, too. There, the antennas there with the Miller Lite.
See, with our powers combined, who knows what Miller Lite is capable of.
He's a talking, I was going to say a talking hairdo, but you don't have any hair, so you're just a talking head.
Man, this is a hairdo.
Are you bald like that? You don't have, your dad's got great hair.
I'll tell you the story of how this happened, because we were at the combine and I had the cul-de-sac. I'm a bald guy. Like I'm a typical 80s bald guy. Like I would have combed over all that. So we go to the combine. It's the first time I'm seen without a helmet. And I know I'm going to be on TV for the first time. And I told my roommate, I got to shave my head. Like, I have to commit to this because I'm not going to be the 22-year-old guy that's out there completely bald, looking like a 40-year-old man. We did it, and I haven't turned back since because it hasn't grown back since.
It makes you look a little more intimidating.
Aerodynamic is what I was going for.
Yeah, but, you know, your dad's got great hair.
He does. He does. And good on him. It looks great.
Well, good luck in the TV business. And more importantly, good luck with the Cantenna.
Hey, thank you very much for having me.
MillerLightCantenna.com. Thank you, Kyle.
All right, DP.
That's Kyle Long, the former All-Pro offensive lineman with Chicago Bears. I think he's just waiting to see if the Bears are any good, and then maybe he comes back.
We all are.
Maybe he waits till Trubisky gets out of there, and then he goes back to be the offensive lineman. Yeah. I love when these guys get out of the game, and then you go, we're going to ask you these questions about such and such. You know, like when Rodney Harrison was leaving the Patriots, and of course we wanted to ask him about Belichick and Brady. And I said, you can't, you know, you're not a Patriot. Like, you got to answer the question. You got to be... You have to have an analysis. You don't have to go out of your way to be critical, but you have to be an analyst here. Yeah, Paul.
I think with you, if you compare him to Gronkowski, Gronkowski took the year off, but I thought Gronk had so many media opportunities that he wouldn't come back. Like he has TV shows. He's got like a Nickelodeon show, wrestling. Yeah. I did not think for that reason he would come back, Gronk.
Yeah, I didn't think so either because he had had devastating injuries. And he was already banged up before he got into the NFL with the bad back. That's why he slipped to the second round. But you get that year off, and I think he'll play just this year, depending on how productive he is. But I don't know if he plays much longer than that. Yeah, McLeod.
He didn't really show up week one.
No, okay. All right.
I mean, and the announcers kept saying, where's Gronk? Where's Gronk? Where's Gronk?
I don't expect a whole lot from Gronk. O.J. Howard, I do. But if I get Gronk to show up in January, I'm okay with that. Jesse in Los Angeles. Hey, Jess. Best and worst of the weekend.
Hey, DP.
Hey, bud.
Good morning, and thanks for taking my call, guys. I had a quick best and worst and a uniform question for you and the Danettes, if that's all right.
Okay.
Best Packers W. I just imagine what Rodgers could have done with a new receiver instead of a new backup. The worst. It is so Cincinnati Bengals to lose a win off an offensive pass interference and then lose a tie off a chip shot whilst your kicker strains his calf muscle. But my uniform question is regarding the Washington football team. I love the new uniforms. They reminded me of a classic college football team, but how did you guys feel about them? Thanks, guys.
I liked it. I liked the numbers on the helmet. You notice how Daniel Snyder did it again? He was in the crosshairs. He had the spotlight. He had the heat on him. He had the media after him. The Washington Post had these detailed exposés. The commissioner, the investigation, internal investigation. And here we are. Pick up a win in week one. And he's even joking about, hey, maybe that's the nickname we have, the Washington football team. Well, maybe Daniel Snyder is... held off the barbarians at the gate for another year, another season here. Yeah, McLovin.
Can we just stop all this Washington positivity? All these callers coming out of the woodwork talking about how the Washington football team is good. They got lucky in one game in D.C. when Carson Wentz had nine guys missing on offense.
Wait, how many moments have they had reason to celebrate? And you're an Eagles fan. So...
Oh, that has a little bit to do with it.
It has everything to do with it. You got embarrassed by Washington. You yourself got embarrassed by Washington.
I absolutely did.
That's what this is about, McLovin.
Like, where am I all of a sudden? Like, there's 14 callers, like so-and-so from Virginia. How many callers do we get from Virginia in a given day?
James in Virginia calls no matter what happens.
And everyone's tearing apart Carson Wentz. They're like, after he avoided four guys, he should reset and find Greg Ward open in the flat. He's getting mauled up front.
Okay. Well, how did you feel about the first half?
Are you kidding me? I was planning the victory parade down Broad Street.
I mean, Paulie's not celebrating the Bears win. He knows better.
They beat a 3-13 Lions team, and the guy dropped the Bears and Lions have 6-10 written all over them. Come on.
The Lions are, you know, one of the darlings in the NFC to make the playoffs.
I feel better now. Sorry, I've been sitting on that.
I know, but you came in a sour mood, and I said, you know, you lost to Washington. All right, keep your head up.
The worst thing is when you think you're going to win because you're up 17.
Oh, I know. I turned it off. I was like, man, Wentz and the Eagles, they're going to kill these guys. And then all of a sudden, I go to the red zone, and they go, let's check back in with Washington. And I go, oh, my God, what's going on with Washington here? And Haskins looked okay. And that the defense is good. You know, they got a pretty good defensive front there. Yeah, McLevin.
There was an interesting storyline. Zach Ertz, I guess, went to management. Yeah. Furious about his contract. Then he had a key drop on Sunday. So Philly fans have turned on him in a hurry. And he's great.
Wait, they turned on him already?
They turned on him on Twitter so hard. They're like, of course Zach Ertz dropped it, complaining about his contract.
By the way, running backs got paid right before the start of the season. Like, it's so strange that everybody got paid at a position where we're still not quite sure how valuable you are. Alvin Kamara got paid. Did Joe Mixon get paid? By the way, was I correct? The first pass by Joe Burrow will be a swing pass to Joe Mixon right out of the backfield. 3 yards, and there it is, his first completion. All right, more phone calls. We'll give you our best and worst of the weekend. We'll hear from Baker Mayfield right after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Best and worst of the weekend. We'll go around the room and give you ours. Also, we'll hear from Baker Mayfield after yesterday's loss. We'll check in with the Cleveland Browns coming up. Let me get to Dave in Nova Scotia. Dave, good to have you back. Best and worst of the weekend.
Hey, bud.
Hey.
So best of the weekend, Danny, we had Tommy, the GOAT, in Pewter. That was definitely the best. The worst, quick flashback to Jameis Winston with the pick six. That was hurtful. I'm not going to go on a Shea and Irving rant or anything. I think the Bucs have a ton of upside, and we showed glimpses of greatness, you know, yesterday with the defense and some other areas. But not having that preseason really hurt us. Just wanted to get your thoughts on where Tampa needs to focus and looking forward to catching up with you here in the season. Hopefully things go better. Thanks, Danny.
All right. Thank you, Dave. Davey, it's one game. You're on the road. You're going against New Orleans. I didn't expect them to get the win. I didn't expect Brady to throw two interceptions. The pick six is the one that was alarming. And I couldn't help but wonder what Jameis Winston was thinking on the other sidelines. Top selling jerseys in the NFL. Let's see if there's eight. There's one surprise, top five. Now, you're always going to sell more jerseys if you go to another team. Tom Brady and Cam Newton are the two top jerseys. Patrick Mahomes and then Lamar Jackson. And then at number five, not an offensive player. Anybody want to guess the fifth highest selling jersey, not an offensive player? Yes, Paulie.
New Seahawk Jamal Adams.
No. McLovin.
Aaron Donald?
No.
Have a new uniform?
No. Seton O'Connor?
I was going to say Aaron Donald.
No. Todd?
I had Donald too.
No.
How can I go with Aaron Donald, Dan?
No.
What about Aaron Donald, though?
Yes, that's it.
Yes.
J.J. Watt, because you can buy T.J. Watt and J.J. Watt sales, just Watt.
It's Nick Bosa.
Really?
Nick Bosa.
That's really cool.
Was that your Nick Bosa?
That's actually really awesome.
Wait, do you have the right Bosa that you're imitating?
I don't know. I just figured they all sound like that. Yeah.
Let's go around the room. What we our best and worst of the weekend. Todd, I'm going to start with you.
My best of the weekend, the Louisiana Ragin' Cajuns beat a top 25 opponent on the road for the first time ever.
Man, Paulie is.
They take down number 23 Iowa State. They were 0-26 against ranked teams away from home. Their only other win over a top 25 team was in 96 at home against the Aggies.
Todd, that'd be like Paulie taking the Broncos for an upset.
Yeah, but there
win.
Was a bunch of stuff going on in college sports besides that one game. I thought there were several.
You know that Paulie only cares about those little schools when they do something
the
big.
The Raging Cajuns specifically?
And plus, you know that Paul grew up a diehard fan of 35 different college football teams. Yeah. So
I got one of those shirts, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Do I get to do the worst of the weekend?
Yeah, go ahead.
Texas State kicker Alex Arona. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that right.
You just took
misses
both
an
them.
Extra point. With I mentioned it in the morning meeting. Misses an extra point with a little over a minute left in regulation. Would have put the Bobcats up
Take
by
a breath.
One over the University of Texas San Antonio. I want to make sure there's time for everybody else. He then misses a 20-yard field goal to start the second overtime. The Roadrunners win on the road, 51-48.
McLovin, best and worst of the weekend.
My best is just poetic justice, seeing Joe Burrow lose his first game as a Bengal, beats Randy Bullock, miss a field goal after I had to watch Randy Bullock cost Andy Dalton win after win through those years. Welcome to Cincinnati, Joe Burrow.
Man, you got just built-in grudges.
Yeah.
Wow.
My other best is that U.S. Open match you made us turn into.
Yeah.
I was genuinely moved by that. That was incredible to see two guys just lay it out on the line like that.
No, it was impressive. It was. Nobody was watching it, but I tuned over and watched the last set.
And they both would have lost in three sets to Djokovic.
Probably so. Probably so. Seton O'Connor.
My best of the weekend, Cubs. Alec Mills throws it. No, I'm kidding. Just kidding. It was a little shot. My best of the weekend's actually Pau Gasol and his wife welcoming their daughter. They named her after Gianna Bryant, Kobe's daughter, which I thought was a pretty nice tribute.
Yep.
You don't really understand. You think that people, you don't realize that they stay in touch after all this time and still had a very close relationship. So that was kind of cool to figure out.
Yep.
My worst of the weekend, though, is the Browns. Holy moly. What a miserable, miserable way to start the season. I just read that they're the only team without a week one win since 2005. In the last 16 seasons, they've lost their opening week. Jeepers creepers.
Here's Baker Mayfield after yesterday's loss.
Sometimes a wake-up call is pretty good for everybody. A nice punch in the mouth. And that's how we should take it. We should, not dwell on it. Realize that we just got beat today. They played better than us. Look at it and get better, move on, and go play the Bengals. That's all we can do.
I thought last season was the punch in the mouth. What? I mean, wasn't that what last season was?
Didn't it kind of feel like week 17 of last season? there's seven.
And how fascinating is this game coming up on Thursday, Browns-Bengals? It's fascinating for the Browns, and I want to see Joe Burrow against that, Cleveland defense. Yes, Todd.
Can that be a must-win in week two for Cleveland?
It might be, believe it or not.
It has to be.
It might be close to a must-win situation that you're going to face the Bengals. They got so much talent there. You got running backs. You got wide receivers. Tight ends, you paid some of your defensive players. McLovin, you are looking at...
I mean, it's a brand new coach. Does he get a little leeway?
Yeah. No off-season workout.
But it really did look bad, I agree.
Well, they weren't even competitive.
But part of me was like, are the Ravens that good? Because Lamar Jackson was like 8-for-9 at one point. I mean, he was...
I think they're that good. But... I didn't think the Browns would be that bad or non-competitive. That was really what was surprising. Are we going to stay with the poll question for the final hour?
We have some more options for hour three, and I will share them after the break.
Okay. Ron Rivera is going to join us on the program tomorrow after the Washington football team had the big win against the Eagles. Embarrassed the Eagles there. Yes, Todd.
And our friend Steve Levy is going to join us tomorrow, too. Monday Night Football debut.
Oh, that's right.
Some kind of Titan-Bronco game is happening.
That's in Denver. Steve Levy on his first Monday Night Football game. Chris Fowler goes from doing the U.S. Open, then he's got the Steelers-Giants coming up tonight. It's like Jim Nancyan. We'll check in with the Cleveland Browns coming up in the final hour as well. More phone calls, as we always do every Monday, best and worst of the weekend. Seton Pauly, Fritz and McLovin, yours truly. This is the Dan Patrick Show.